Now some more holiday editions of Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I remain Farley Malaris, and welcome to another edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Today we're going to talk about the transits in our natal chart that sometimes either force us to be alone, to get in touch more with the self, to work on our relationships with ourself, and oftentimes these transits either do not encourage relationships, may create strange relationships in our lives, unusual karmic ones, or tremendous responsibility and maintenance required to keep relationships sound. We're going to call today's topic the Fortress of Solitude as we present the Astrology Hour today for you. First half hour commercial free. Then we'll start with our callers until 2 o'clock on today's expanded edition. And today's Astrology Hour serves as our Christmas card. So we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a Happy Chanukah, Hanukkah out there for all you people that are celebrating. I rejoice at this time of year because it's a renewal time for myself and for so many people, a chance to renew the spirit and also to proceed forward with love and joy and light and optimism and confidence and all those things that we know we need. So I place an emphasis on spiritual growth all the time during the year of Christmas time. We have to let go of this Capricorn martyrdom, this need to suffer in order to evolve and just float with it, you know, just go for it. I've got some exciting news for you, though. Depending what time of year or what time of the decade it is, I've got two movies I highly recommend that I feel will receive Academy Awards in one or more areas. And, you know, sometimes because we have so much of Hollywood listening to this show, if I ever am outstandingly aroused by a movie like I was with the movie Dad, I let you know about it. And the two movies that I saw that I really love were Back to the Future 2 with Michael J. Fox, of course, and Christopher Lloyd, and this is a movie you must not miss. Blows away the first one, in my opinion, one of the best movies I have ever seen, and totally metaphysical. Talk about quantum physics, it's all over the place. And the second movie I saw last night at the ABC Entertainment Center in the Odeon Complex was Glory, which I feel is going to get Best Picture. The story of the black troops, black gentlemen who became soldiers in the Civil War, and how they changed the course of the Civil War and swayed it into the favor of the Union with an addition of 180,000 fighting warriors. We notice how powerful the race of black folks are in sports, just overwhelmingly dominating basketball and football and baseball. It seems senseless that America or the Union would ever have to fight a war without these brave warriors. And that movie really sustained that important fact. So if you're into American history like I am, don't miss Glory. It was a magnificent movie. And all the actors in there, Denzel Washington and all the actors did a superior job. Matthew Broderick was in there too, and I was just blown away because I completely lost scope that it was a movie. I was there with them, and when they were in battle, I was fighting with them, and it was unbelievable. Anyway, go see those movies. It's an unsolicited response. So how you doing today, folks? Are you feeling okay? Are you doing all right? I know some of these transits are kind of weird. Whenever the moon gets ready to go cardinal, everyone's like, fasten your seatbelt, things are going to get weird now. The purpose of this topic, really, is to kind of give you some information that I know that I don't feel a whole lot of people are aware of. So when you hear a weather forecast on the radio or see one on TV, you find out about the weather. But when you listen to this show, then you find out a lot about life and why things happen the way they do. So we kind of talk about the forecast for humanity, for people, individuals. And, you know, when I take a look at someone's astrology chart, I have come to the conclusion that charisma and obnoxiousness, or just a vibration of cause and effect, or say the law of attraction and repulsion, is something that is so blatantly obvious in astrology, it leaves no room for question. Have you ever heard me make the comment, when someone calls me, that they're not showing relationships right now in their charts? You know, some people might call me that are married or they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and And right off the bat, I won't know that, but I'll say, you know what? You're shown a time right now to be free, to be alone, to have some space, and to work on yourself. A lot of people, including myself, do not want to hear that. You know why? Because we are a generation in this century. There has been a social revolution on this planet. I don't know if it's all been that good, but there has been such a social revolution on this planet that many of us have been spoiled for a lot of attention from a lot of people, especially along the lines of love and romance. And I have found, I have discovered that frankly, it's just ridiculous that I think in olden times, or even 100 years ago, there wasn't that kind of a social need. I guess with the media, with movies, with radio, with TV, with soap operas, with books, so many people read about and see and hear about all this love that we get sort of hooked in and strapped in to this need, this obsession, this karma of feeling like we belong to somebody, we're involved with someone, we have a relationship, the thought of marriage. Do you know more marriages have occurred on this planet in the last 100 years than I'm pretty sure someone might confirm this, that have probably occurred in about 600 to 1,000 years? I know there's a lot more people around, but that's one of the reasons, because more people are getting married and having babies. But still in all, when we talk about relationships and astrology, there will be times when relationships will come into our lives and there will be a free flow. And there will be times when relationships will come into our lives and there won't be a free flow. There'll be a wall, or there'll be static, a problem. There'll be some times when we will be charismatic and attractive and smell good and just look good and people will come to us. And there will be those times when, for some reason or other, no one wants us, no one wants to talk to us. Sometimes there'll be situations when relationships will come into our lives and they'll flow just the way we want them to. If you're someone that's patient and you're friendly and you need someone else that's patient and friendly, then that's what you get. Or if you're someone that's wild and lustful and sensuous and passionate and you want somebody else like that, then that's what you'll get. See, there's an ebb and a flow in astrology that is so utterly ridiculously easy to notice that I, as your friend and as part of the holiday season, will bestow upon you this gift, this formula, this information to help you understand when your relationships are best and when relationships are just not shown, period. Now, if you counter this formula, it's okay, because some people last through 20, 30, 40, and 50-year marriages, and they will go through these transit states when they are not shown relationships. Of course, many of these people, you know, there are people out there that will put up with just about anything because they are in love. That happens. And there are other people that will not put up with much of anything at all because not only are they not in love, they probably don't even know what it is. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but frankly, I have found that true love knows no bounds, which means that if there is love in a relationship, I don't care what kind of transits you're having, that relationship's going to make it. All right? So a lot of this has to do with personal security, personal stability, and emotional growth. You know, whether you have enough maturity to understand and embrace the true essence of love and experience that in a relationship. Now, when we take a look at the birth chart, and be reminded, in case you're a new listener, that a phenomena occurs when a baby is born, comes out of the womb, umbilical cord is cut, the baby is revived and starts breathing, and the moment it takes in the essence of this dimension, the second, the microsecond, the heart is beating off of air that is not from a host, but is from direct input. That is the astrological miracle. That moment is when we would like to take the universe and just freeze it for an instant. And that's not difficult to do. You know why? Because the universe we live in, most of the things we look at in the sky appear to be frozen anyway. I don't know if you notice this, but if you go outside every night, you're going to see Orion. If you go out every night, you're going to see the Dipper, and you're going to see the constellations of all the zodiac and everything pretty much frozen. So freezing the universe is not that difficult. The liquid part of the universe, from our point of view, the moving part of the universe is what? Well, it's obvious. It's those lights in the sky that are moving. The planets and the moon and the sun. That's what's moving. You know, from a scientific point of view, we constantly track the movement of the planets and the sun and the moon astronomically so we know where they're going. But astrologically, we want to know where everything is because this phenomenon is known as the astrological effect at birth, meaning that if you analyze the locations of planets at birth, you can understand an individual, their energy, their vehicle, their personality, their karma, their strengths, their weaknesses, whatever. So you can start to understand how a person would face relationships, deal with relationships, and current states of relationship potential or relationship problems by analyzing the natal chart. And I'm not just talking about love and romance. So I am talking about all kinds of relationships. Now, when you have a space transit, when you have that transit that requires the fortress of solitude, and if you don't know what a fortress of solitude is, pick up a Superman comic book. It is a place where you go where you can have peace with yourself and enjoy it. Now, there's some people out there that have problems being alone. This is something that needs to be worked on. If you have so much stress and so much nervousness and so much unprocessed anxiety in your life that you are uncomfortable with yourself, then you have no fortress of solitude. And then when these cycles occur, whether you're in a relationship or not, there are a lot of people in relationships and marriages that still go to their fortress of solitude when they have a certain astrological effect. Now, on today's topic, once again, we are focusing on the love planets of Venus, which is love factor, and Mars, which is the sex or passion factor. Venus representing the yin and Mars representing the yang. Venus, the feminine force, Mars, the masculine force. So obviously, if you're looking for vibrations concerning women that you might care for, whether you're a man or a gay woman, we always look to Venus. And if you are looking towards vibrations concerning men in your life, and this would be all of you ladies out there and the gay guys that are listening right now, then we look to the planet Mars. All right? Now, what happens is that your planets, Venus and Mars, are going to go through transit aspects. Your chart goes through an energy adjustment all the time, which means if you know where your Venus is in your chart and you are interested in women in your life, then you must understand the state of your Venus. Okay, now what does that mean? Current state of any natal planet in your birth chart basically means how's it doing? What's happening to it? What are the other planets in the sky, the transiting planets, doing to your Venus? Now, let's make a couple things clear for this topic. If you are receiving trines, which is a common element complement, like if your Venus was in Aries, and if you're getting some strong trines from Leo or Sag, Leo, Aries, and Sag, of course, trine each other, and Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn trine each other, the Earth signs, the Air signs, Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini trine each other, and the Water signs, Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio trine each other. So I have my Venus in Cancer. So whenever there's a Water trine, which at least occurs twice a month, and the moon will be going into Scorpio in a couple days, so I'm looking forward to that, right? But when the moon goes into Scorpio or Pisces and trines my Venus, I know at least twice a month I am having a water trine to my Venus. Now, trines are what I believe and what I have proven are geometrical angular aspects that occur that will bring positive experiences, loving, balanced, more adhering to your personality and nature, more fun. Trine transits, right? So obviously a lot of you out there that might have Venus, for example, in Taurus would be receiving a heck of a lot of support from such planets like Uranus in Capricorn, which is another complement Earth. That's where Uranus is right now. Neptune's in Capricorn, another complement Earth. We have Saturn in Capricorn. A couple other planets are headed there. I think the Sun's there. I think Mercury's there. So if you had Venus and Earth in Taurus or Virgo, then you'd be receiving up to 3 or 4 trines in your chart. And that's the type of aspect that we show relationships. Building, being more comfortable, happier, more passionate. It's like the dream type relationships. Where more than just a soulmate comes in, someone you might have karma with, but a twin flame might come in, someone you have no karma with that you can actually get along with and have fun with. Those are the trine transits and also the sextile transits to your Venus and to the women. For women that are people that are interested in men in their lives, trines to your Mars would also bring in welcome elements. Now, the one thing you got to understand is that if you're having a moon trine Mars, it only lasts for a few hours. But if you're having a Uranus trine Mars, it might last for a year and a half. So any planetary trines to your Mars would show positive energy with relationships, although the moon trine or the sun trine or the Mercury trine or the Mars or Venus trine may only last a few hours or a few days, which makes for those relationships that are so short and quick. They seem like a mini marriage. So for long-term commitments and for stable relationships, I much rather enjoy the long trines from Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which means if you have Mars in Pisces or Mars in Scorpio, then Jupiter right now at 6 Cancer would be trine your Mars in Pisces or Scorpio early, and that might bring in a nice relationship for you, if you were looking for a man, that is. If you have, like I said, the planets of Venus or Mars in Virgo or Taurus, you'd be getting trines from all the Capricorn transits. If you have planets, once again, in Pisces or Cancer, Pluto and Scorpio would trine that, and that could bring in some nice relationships, see? But then, because we are talking about an ebb and flow in astrology, because karma, the basic root of karma, is cause and effect, or just like the waves of the ocean are the breathing cycle of human beings and animals, we are always talking about up cycles and down cycles, because it is inevitable that we will have trine transits and that relationships will come into our lives and be fun. But it is also inevitable that we will have the harder transits occur to our Venus and Mars, the transits that we call squares and oppositions, that at the same time all those planets in Capricorn would be trine planets in Venus or Mars in Taurus or Virgo. All the folks that have Venus or Mars in the signs that are square or opposed Capricorn, let's say you have Venus or Mars in Libra, which is square Capricorn, in Aries, which is square Capricorn, are like me in Cancer, Venus in Cancer, which is opposition Capricorn, then unlike going through a moon square or a moon opposition that might last for just a few hours, if you're going through a Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Pluto, or Jupiter square or opposition, it could last for years. Now, that's what the purpose of this topic is all about. See, the opposition transit means that there is a planet in the sky that is exactly opposite your planet, Venus or Mars, and if it's one of these outer planets like Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, this opposition might last for years. Well, you know what that means? If you're a woman out there with Mars in Cancer, or a man with Venus in Cancer, and you're dealing, or you have Venus and Mars in Libra or Aries, any of them, then you're going to be dealing with a karma stage right now in your life that says that if you want to play the game of relationships, you might have to pay a price for it. Okay, this is when the universe will dump upon you the most severe of lessons concerning the energy you left behind in past lives concerning relationships. No matter what the natal state of your Venus or Mars is, these transit states that we call Fortress of Solitude transits are transits that if you do not adhere the need to be alone, the need to be spiritual, and the need to work on your stuff. And I'm not saying that you'd have to go as drastic. You know, a lot of people go berserk and they decide, well, I'm going to be totally celibate and I'm going to stay away from women and I'm going to be totally cold and to anyone that approaches me. And I don't go for that. See, because I do believe you must tackle your karma. Because a moon trine Venus might occur, and you will meet that somebody, then the moon will leave, and all the other oppositions will be left there, and then that relationship could die in a week. At least you had some tenderness for a while. It's better than being totally alone. Some people completely shut themselves off from the world. You know, I hear people saying, well, I've been celibate for 2 years. You know, I don't know if I'm proud of that or not. You know, we are still animals, and no matter what the gurus say, and no matter what these metaphysical books say, as far as I remember, animals have a natural instinct to procreate. And if you cut that instinct off, then one wonders what that will do, especially if you have a load of Scorpio and Cancer and Pisces in your chart, which might require a lot of love and emotions in your life. And that is why some of us are nomads, wanderers, are people that have relationships, but we have a lot of them. And I wouldn't call these people promiscuous. I would call these people individuals that are tackling a lot of their karma and trying to work it out. You know, society might put this down, and your friends and peers might give you a hard time. But the fact is that there are millions of people born in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s that have been involved in so many relationships at this point that in past lives, some of us might be recognized as being married 30 to 40 times by now, maybe more. I've had my own clients tell me, when I ask them the question, how many relationships do they have, some of them will say, well, if they're in their 40s or 30s, they might say they had 5 or 10 relationships. One was 1 year, one was 2 years, one was 6 months, one was 4 years, one was 5 years. They're proud. I've had a 7-year one. The trines bring them in, and the squares and the oppositions either rip them out or put you in a state of caution and a state of adaptation. Now, if you are having an opposition from Uranus, Saturn, or Neptune, or a square from Uranus, Saturn, or Neptune, or an opposition from Jupiter or Pluto, or a square from Jupiter or Pluto, to your Venus or your Mars, you are shown what I call the space transit, which means theoretically at this point in your life, you must understand a few basic situations here. Number one, your relationships may not go as perfect as you like them to. And I'm sorry, even if your powers of visualization and manifestation and confidence are at their highest, I have tested this formula and I have found that relationships are much better during the trine and sextile transits, and they get strange and downright bizarre during oppositions and squares. That's because the karma is very thick at that point. So I would say expect the unexpected in relationships and expect unusual behavior from people that will be either in your life now or people that would approach your life. Number two, if you're having that Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto square or opposition to your Venus or Mars, the long space transit, be aware that this is an important time for personal growth, an important time to patch that relationship with yourself, and an excellent opportunity for you to gain stability with the spirit. That's why, once again, in astrology, I say there is nothing bad in astrology. Understanding the cycles of the universe and the cycles of life gives us the opportunity to focus on certain important areas that require major attention. So that is why, even though I'm having a Uranus opposed Venus right now, Uranus at 4 Capricorn opposed my Venus at 5 Cancer, and Jupiter at 6 Cancer retrograde sitting on that Venus, even though I'm having the major space transit, it doesn't mean I don't want a relationship. I have been perhaps meeting a lot of people because Jupiter on my Venus makes me charismatic and pulls them in, but the Uranus opposition is the type of relationship that might create an unusual karma with any person that might come into my life right now. So the choice, it remains that if you're having the hard transit to your Venus or your Mars, you are being given the opportunity to either grin and bear it and adapt and adjust to try to understand the karma. A lot of people get married during these transits. Or retreat into the spirit, which oftentimes is what I will do anyway if a relationship at this point in my life either gets too uncomfortable, too sticky, becomes a controversy or a problem or whatever. And that is why, you know, I know some people out there that are having the same transit and they do have relationships going. The circumstances surrounding these relationships are unusual because the women or the men on one hand may think they're being treated fairly and on the other hand, they're not. Because oftentimes when you have those strange karmas to your Venus or Mars, one of the partners will have more than one relationship going. One of the partners may not have a similar motive as the other. One of the partners might not be as in love as the other. But for whatever reason, there always seems to be an imbalance. And oftentimes the karma attached to this type of transit is an imbalance. It's the Libra scales off balance where one person is obsessed and the other person can't let go. So remember the fortress of solitude. And remember that when you have no one else to go to, and when the pain in relationships gets so intense that you nearly can't bear it any longer, that it is very important to retreat to the fortress of solitude. Now, my fortress of solitude exists in my dream lab. I've created one. It also exists in my meditative state, in my spirit, in my higher self. And when I use my crystals, and when I can just be with Farley. And I have learned, I have practiced, and I have learned and adapted to having fun with myself without needing anyone else. And this isn't an ego blast. It has a lot to do with not only dealing with loneliness, but enjoying it. Enjoying being alone when you have the Fortress of Solitude transits. And once again, the Fortress of Solitude transits would occur, and whether you're married or not, if you have long, hard transits, squares or oppositions to your Venus or your Mars, Venus if you're with a woman and Mars if you're with a man, or Venus if you're interested in women, Mars if you're interested in men, and this will occur and last for a year or two, and it is associated with lots of karma and strange occurrences, and that's why we're giving the option to retreat into the self. Astrology is neat. It is happening. If you picked up a current issue in December of Omni Magazine, you will find an article from an astronomer that confirms the power of astrology. It's something that's very important that you get a head start on. Astrology right now is in the state where computers might have been 25, 30 years ago. That's why I salute those of you that have taken the responsibility, assuming responsibility for getting the chart done and learning the basics. And I'm not talking about sun signs. I'm talking about scientific planetary astrology, and that's why I think the Astrology Hour is fulfilling a major purpose by enlightening people along these lines. It most certainly is the good King Wenceslas from the Mannheim Steamroller Christmas album. A little bit of nostalgia on the Astrology Hour used to be our bumper, and we like to use it around the holiday time. So Merry Christmas to you and yours. I hope you understood that topic on the Fortress of Solitude. And this is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, where you can hear Astrological Metaphysical Radio weekdays at 12 noon to 1 o'clock.